That's Not Tango. Astor Piazzolla, A Life in Music, makes its Jazz at Lincoln Center debut July 30th and 31st at the Appel Room. The musical biography of the legendary Argentine composer was written by Leslie Carsten and Stephen Wadsworth. The show stars Leslie Carsten and a musical quartet featuring J.P. Joffrey on the bandoneon. WBGO's morning maestro Gary Walker had a chance to sit down with Carsten and Joffrey in our performance studio last week.
Imagine yourself in 1930s New York City, Lower East Side. The different things coming at you, believe this, more than those things coming at you from your iPad, because they were real. They were in the street. They were coming from people, different peoples, different cultures, all living on top of each other. And part of that culture was the growing up experience for Astor Piazzolla. The subject of a new performance happening in the Appel Room at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Frederick P. Rose Hall on July 30th and 31st. That's Not Tango, Astor Piazzolla, A Life in Music. Indeed, it is not just tango. And with us today to speak to that is the lady who stars in it and also co-produced it and wrote it. So it seems like a welcome thing to invite Leslie Carsten into this mix on the wonderful Astor Piazzolla. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Now, I got that right. I mean, when you're mixing up musics that go from European classical to klezmer to jazz to folk to gypsy music to your indigenous Argentinian influences, well, that's not just tango, is it?
No, not at all. And of course, that was Astor's extraordinary contribution, that he took all the elements. I mean, he heard something, he would inhale it, he'd make it his own, and he created his own musical vocabulary. And no one, to my estimation, has been able to match it since.
Why do you think that is?
I think there is such a thing as a unique genius. I think he had his own genius. But I also think it was just the function of growing up on the Lower East Side in this fevered experience of being around all those different cultures. And he was also, I think, a very sensitive child who is a lame, short, lame boy, an only child, growing up on the Lower East Side, a tough neighborhood. He became a fighter. I think music became his salvation. And so it was his inner life that he wove together with all these disparate elements.
Sure, I agree with you, the salvation for many, because 1930, you're talking about, you know, the cusp, the onset of the Great Depression. So how did people escape that? Well, you know, the very first thing of any kind that you could buy on time in America was the piano. And so many people did that. They had pianos in their homes. There was no radio. There was no television. But there was music, music that kept the evil and the negativity of what you may have experienced in your life out in the street during the week, and it kind of gave you a respite from that. And when you're aware of all those different musical styles, as Astor was growing up, and in addition, you mentioned sneaking off at a very early age to Harlem to see people like Duke Ellington and Cab Calloway.
That's right. That's right. While his parents were asleep.
Yeah.
Yes. He was a rascal.
Now, you're a filmmaker of note, spent many years making documentary films. What drew you to Astor Piazzolla?
You know, it was the music. As I had mentioned to you, John Adams, the great opera composer, said once that once this music gets into your system, it works on you like a drug. And I heard someone perform Piazzolla's music. I left the performance hall, raced to the nearest record store because those were the days when record stores still existed. I miss them. And bought the only CD they had of Piazzolla's music. And actually, it wasn't even a Piazzolla performing it. And I played it till it had no more grooves. And then I had to find something else. But the music just infiltrated my spirit, and I needed it. So it became a part of my soul life. Sure. And I think that's what great music does.
Now, at this performance that takes place on the 30th and 31st of July, in the Appel Room at Jazz at Lincoln Center, you couldn't find a more spectacular backdrop for a more spectacular story, one that digs so deep because of the many different influences that it comes from to make up that story. And it stars Leslie Carsten, the author of this performance, but also an all-star quartet that you have assembled to actually play some of the best of Astor Piazzolla. And we are honored to have a bandoneon player extraordinaire with us today, J.P. Joffrey.
Hello.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. You know, the bandoneon, if you're not aware of what that is, think a squeeze box, think an accordion, but think of an instrument with much more character just by looking at it. Does your bandoneon have a name?
And that's a good question. Actually, not this one, because I got this one like 6 years ago, and I haven't had time to think about a name for him. But the first bandoneon I had, I remember I called him Mario. Mario is a very popular name in Argentina. I don't know if it's here in the U.S. He said, well, this is my best friend, my partner, you know, every day with me, either for performing, for writing music.
Can you show us a little bit of why it's your best friend?
Yes, I believe this is the most expressive instrument I found for me, and it gives me the possibility to breathe and play music at the same time. So I don't know if you want to hear, I can play something.
Show
now
us
for
a
you.
Little bit, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
did you hear that when it came back together? I've never heard that before in my life. The bandoneon breathes just like JP does, right? Only much more musical. In fact, in the story that you wrote, Leslie, there's a passage which actually describes the passion, the breath, almost the physicality of a bandoneon's breath. Maybe the two of you could give us a taste of that today. This play is at the Appel Room, the 30th and 31st. That's Not Tango, Astor Piazzolla, A Life in Music.
And it wasn't a quiet relationship. Someone in Vienna wrote that I held the instrument as if I were grasping the horns of a bull. And I looked down at it as if I were holding a screaming, roaring, irrepressible life form. And I pulled the thing apart 3 feet above my head, like a brilliant magician showing off his last card, like a victorious Laocoon wrestling with the serpent.
The passion of expression put into words in the performance of, that's not tango, Astor Piazzolla, A Life in Music. Taking its title, kind of a play on words, because the purists say, that's not tango. Why do they say that when it feels so much like it? That's exactly what it is.
Well, that's part of the story. But Astor certainly used tango. It was the essential form that he worked with. But he brought all those other elements that we've already been talking about to tango, which meant rhythmic complexity, tonal changes. He really exploded the form and created something completely different with it. And for the purists, most of whom wanted to dance to very clear rhythmic meters. To the purists, they were shocked and horrified, and they couldn't dance to it, and they were forced to listen to it. And that was the radical thing that Astor did, is that he wrote music to be listened to, not to be danced to. So that's what made him such a tango heretic. But that's also what made his music so universal.
J.P., growing up in Argentina, was there a class called Intro to Astor?
Well, no. And, now that we are talking about this, I still remember many people that don't like his music because they say that he destroyed tango. And I had friends. I grew up with my grandmother, and I always hang out with the older people. So I had friends that they were in their 70s, and we used to talk about tango when I was a teenager. And I remember some of them. They really hated Piazzolla because they claimed that Piazzolla destroyed tango. But to me, he made music. He made beautiful music, and I just like it. And I don't really care about saying, "Oh, this is tango. This is not tango." To me, it doesn't matter. It's music. It's incredible music. So in Argentina, no, I never had any in class about Piazzolla's music. It's very interesting, not even in the school of music. I think nowadays his music is being introduced, but not so much when I was studying. It was most focused in classical music.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tango yourself?
You mean dancing?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. When I, playing in the milongas, in tango clubs, that was my job for the first 3-4 years when I first came from New York City. I used to play 3-4 times a week in all the milongas. It was a lot of fun. I learned to dance and I learned a lot. But always my dream was composing music or performing music by Piazzolla. So I haven't played in a milonga in the past 4 years, because I've been very busy playing my own music and also playing Piazzolla's music.
Yeah.
The door that Piazzolla open to our generation is a big door. You know, he basically opened the doors for the great halls, for the great festivals, the great orchestras, that before it was impossible because tango music was, it was a very small circle, very traditional, and the music wouldn't fit very well in a, I don't know, with the New York Philharmonic, but Piazzolla fits very well with New York Philharmonic or with the, I don't know, Guido Kremer or Paquito de Rivera, everyone, or Jojo Ma, you know, many, everyone, you know, all the musicians are playing Piazzolla, so he definitely opened a door for our generation.
It takes a musician's mind and spirit to fully embrace someone like Astor Piazzolla. To make it easier for the audience, is the performance that's going on the 30th and the 31st in the Appel Room. It's the soul of a man named Astor Piazzolla, and it's called That's Not Tango, Astor Piazzolla, A Life in Music. Let me ask you a question, Leslie. The piece, where you can chime in too, Jamie. The piece Soledad, what does that mean to you? Because many times when Piazzolla wrote music, it was an emotional expression, right? It was perhaps an expression of anger, perhaps an expression of joy, perhaps a political expression. So a piece like Soledad, what would that impart?
Well, it's interesting that you picked that piece because actually the story of that piece I find quite poignant. Malvicino, who was one of the guitarists, a brilliant jazz guitarist who was with Astor, played with Astor off and on for 40 years, and they were old, very, very close friends, said that Astor actually wrote that piece in a coffee shop at around 3 in the morning after he had abandoned his marriage and his children and just left the home, never to come back. And it is a song of such beauty and loneliness and sadness, and you feel it in the piece, and it's actually integrated into the narrative in a way that suggests that, really underscores that emotional struggle that he was going through.
An audience comes to a performance the 30th or the 31st in the Appel Room at Jazz at Lincoln Center and takes in the world of Astor Piazzolla in your production. What do you think they come away with?
I hope they're moved. I hope they have an experience. I don't know what people come away with except for the fact that they've come back to see the show 3, 4, some of them even 5 times. So it must be touching something deep in them. And I think it's partly that Piazzolla's music is so personal. It really is the expression of his soul in music. And it's honest and it's tender and it borders occasionally on sentimentality, but he just goes up to the line and never crosses it. It's gritty and it's human. It's just honest, human, beautiful, often challenging music. And he was a complex man. And as he says in the piece, as regards his father, with whom he had this very deep relationship, he says, "My father was not a complicated man, but I was complicated." And he was. And at the end, it's a man being accountable for the choices in his life, really coming to terms with his own mortal limitations. And I think it's also partly that we live in a world where accountability seems to mean so little. So to watch a man struggle with that in relation to his art. And the art goes on. The music carries you away at the end. The music's always here.
Complex, yes. Complexities, easier to understand after witnessing That's Not Tango. Astor Piazzolla, A Life in Music. The 30th and the 31st in the Appel Room at Jazz at Lincoln Center. Do you have a favorite piece, Leslie or JP, from the performance that you could maybe play a taste of?
Yes, well, I think Adios Nonino is one of Astor Piazzolla's masterpieces that he wrote when his father passed away. So I have transcribed this beautiful cadenza that he performed at Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires in the 1974. And I found this video that is very old. It's very hard to hear, actually. It took me a long time to transcribe it. He's performing this arrangement with the nonet, an incredible instrumentation, an incredible ensemble that he had for a very short time. And so I'm going to play this transcription I made, Adios Nonino, from this performance at Teatro Colón in the 1974.
Adios, always something hard to say, but certainly easy to listen to, and part of the performance, That's Not Tango, in the Appel Room, the 30th and 31st at Jazz at Lincoln Center. Our thanks to Leslie Carsten, and also now, who's going to play us out, to J.P. Joffrey on the bandoneon. ¶¶